Romans 3:24, my friends, is so specific, so stunning, that it can encourage you in the darkest hour. And it has three of the richest words in Scripture in this one short verse. Let's look at it. This is Colin Cook and How It Happens. Thanks for joining me today. You're listening to a broadcast for men and women who struggle with addictions like drugs or alcohol or food issues or heterosexual or homosexual addiction, but not only addictions of that kind. You know, all mankind is in a state of addiction in one way or another, for we are all running away from pain. And the pain is our broken relationship with God that leaves us destitute, that leaves us guilty, and leaves us afraid and ashamed and in the dark. And that pain is so great that we must relieve it and medicate it at the same time by our behaviors that are escapes. Well, we're looking at how to intercept that addictive struggle by faith, and not simply by faith, but faith in someone, and that is Jesus our Savior. Now look, Romans 3:22 says this, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all men and all, to all and on all who believe, that is the righteousness of God is revealed, and it's the Christ, who is our righteousness, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And, you know, it would be legitimate to add there, for there is no difference between Jew and Greek, or there is no difference between the pagan and the religious man, because Paul has spent chapters 1 and 2 and half of chapter 3 demonstrating that both the pagan and the religious man are under the condemnation of the law. The law can only bring a knowledge of sin, not an experience of righteousness. So he says there is no difference. And in fact, many translations add the words there is no difference between Jew and Greek, or between, although by extension I would say, between the pagan and the religious man, because that's what Paul has been describing in chapters 1 and 2. So he says, for all sinned, have sinned. It's the aorist tense there, the punctilia tense, the tense that specifies a point in time. When did all sin at a point in time? In Adam, of course. Paul's going to make a big case out of that, as I said yesterday in chapter 5. All of us went down with Adam and continually fall short of the glory of God. My friend, I don't know as I know, well, I know I don't know, what our glory or my glory and your glory would have been if we had never fallen. I just think that one human being unfallen would have stunned the world of today. We would have thought of that man as a god. We have indeed fallen from all our glory. And the stunning thing is, and here it comes in verse 24, where I said at the beginning, this verse is so specific and so stunning. Having fallen short of the glory that we should have had, we are being at the same time, continuously, justified freely. That is, declared innocent freely. Now, you and I know, you struggling with one form of addiction or another, or just the defeats of life, or the obsessions of the mind, or the problems of the world that get you so stressed and anxious, we are being declared innocent freely while that falling short of the glory of God is happening. You see, this is where preachers and teachers have to pull in the very specificity of the Word of God, otherwise they will get off track. It is almost frightening in its boldness to believe these words, to quote them, that while we are falling short, we are being declared innocent. I mean, you know the usual way of thinking in Christian circles. If you are falling short, you'd better stop falling short and repent and change your behavior so that you can be justified or declared innocent. But here we are given a glimpse into God's grace, that it puts aside the law, seemingly, in order to declare us innocent even while we are falling short continually. You see, there's a very interesting play here. Verse 23 says, all sinned at a certain point of time, and the Greek is continually fall short of the glory of God. And then verse 24 is the continuous tense, and which means then that while they are continually falling short of the glory of God, they are continually being declared innocent. Now, some say this is false teaching, Colin, because this gives license to sin. No, it does not. Where do you get that idea from? I know, from your own perverted mind, my friend. That's where you get it, because we're all afraid of grace. We're afraid it's too much of a free pass. But it is only a free pass that gives us courage to get up again and seek to live better. Don't shortchange the grace of God by your fear of it. The good news is that while you are falling short with your struggle with addiction, you are being declared innocent freely. Freely. To be justified is to be declared innocent. You see what a difference this makes to your struggle with addiction. Instead of endlessly berating yourself, instead of endlessly speaking into your mind those recriminating words, you're no good, you don't amount to anything, what's wrong with you, you never do anything right. Instead of that, you speak affirming words, justifying words into your head. You do not listen to those accusations of the law. You rather say, yes, I am fallen, yes, I am broken, yet I thank God that he declares me innocent by his grace. It's not that you are innocent, it's that he declares you, treats you as if you were innocent. And if you're not sure of that, treating you as if you were innocent, just hang on for the next few days and you will see clearly where it is stated, where that fact is stated in this chapter. You see, if God declares me innocent freely by his grace, which is his undeserving favor, which is his gracious favor, then it is time that I agree with him and speak those words into my head. My head wants to say, you're no good. You amount to nothing. You're a fake. You're unreal. You say, I know what my mind says. But I know what God says, that in Christ I am declared innocent. In him I am true. In him I am freed from the accusations of my own mind. Now, what does that do for you? Does it make any difference? Does it change things? Does it change your behavior? In time it will, because there is one thing that will keep sick behavior recurring. And it is a dark, self-recriminating, accusatory mind, a depressed mind. But you now have a faith life that speaks into the mind, that corrects the messages of the mind. And it is this message that you are declared innocent, justified, being justified, continually being justified, freely, not as a result of works, not as a result of obedience to the law, but as a result of the grace of God. How does that grace express itself? Well, it says it right here, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, through the buying back. You see, it's almost as if we had been purchased by the devil. This is a symbol, of course. We haven't been purchased by the devil. God didn't have to pay the devil anything to buy us back. But it's as if we were under the bondage of another and we were redeemed, repurchased, reclaimed. I am reclaimed. What about you? I'm reclaimed not because of what I did or succeeded in doing, but by his grace. Now, my friend, you know you're going to have to embrace this. I told you about someone who said to me the other day, I believe in Jesus, but I don't want to declare it publicly yet until I can live the life. Oh, I have to straighten that dear man out, if I can. I didn't have the opportunity at the time he said it. But the message is this. You are declared innocent even while your life is not straightened out, as long as you continue to trust in Jesus. And so the message that this man needs to receive is not that the gospel is about him and his success and victory. It is rather about Jesus and Jesus' success and victory, you see. That's how it is. So then, what do you do with this, my friend? You know. You start talking back to that dead mind of yours. You start talking back in faith. You don't argue. Well, kind of, I suppose you do, but I'm trying to say you don't waste time arguing with the devil. You simply declare the truth to your mind. Yes, I know I am a sinner. Yes, I know I am imperfect and have failed. And yet, I am the righteousness of God in Christ, for his righteousness is upon me who believe. There is no difference between me and a pagan. I have failed in Adam and continually fall short of God's glory. Yet, because of his grace, I am continually being declared innocent freely. How? Through the fact that Christ has bought me back, redeemed me, not because of any goodness in me or any works in me, but because Christ has become my righteousness. This is how you speak. This is how you affirm. And this gives you courage to walk on higher ground day by day. How are you doing, my friend? Do you feel so knitted to this program, so in harmony with the message that it gives, that you would like to say, I want to support it, I want to become a partner of this program, here is the gospel declared unabashedly, without any political strings attached? Here is the good news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God who became the Son of Man. If you like it, if you are thrilled by it, if you are trained by it, please consider becoming a partner of the program, would you? A partner is someone who might donate $20 a month, or $50, or $100, or $200, or just $10, or $5 if you like, whatever works with your budget. And send your donation, please, to FaithQuest, P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado 80160. FaithQuest, P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado 80160. You can also make your monthly donations by credit card if you like. Simply call me and to set it up for you. 303-738-8694, 303-738-8694. Or if you want to make your donation by PayPal, you can do so on our FaithQuestRadio.com website, FaithQuestRadio.com, FaithQuestRadio.com, and there you can make your donation by PayPal. Thank you very much, my friend. These broadcasts and all the Ministry of FaithQuest depends upon your donations. It's a simple ministry, but lasting 34 years, and we're here to stay by God's grace. All right, thank you, and I'll see you next time, my friend. Cheerio, and God bless.